cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio as part of our panel today is Safia Boulay of New Habits. We help you make shift happen.
Hi, Richard.
Thanks for being with us. Last week, we had Richard Shambari on the question of managing real estate in your business. Should we be buying or renting? A great podcast. Download that from the website if you haven't already. Today's theme, why and when should you outsource things like recruitment, training, and other payroll and HR functions? Joining us on the line is a guest, Andrew Butters, CEO of Pretty Much People and also author of Eating from the Same Plate, 10 Steps to Handling and Resolving Conflict. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the invitation, Richard.
It's always good to have you on the show with us.
Thank you.
Now, I guess if I look at the world of human resource management in my business, I guess... my instant question would be one of saying, well, you know, I've just started my business. You know, do I even need HR? Do I need an HR function? You know, question, Andrew. I mean, why would I even need an HR function in my business?
Richard, you certainly would need a HR function when you start in your business. The fact of the matter is that the employment relationship starts at the very least with a process of interviewing and screening somebody for prospective employment with your company. That process feeds then into a process of obviously engaging the right person for your organization, which would require somebody to draft a contract of employment. Typically, a human resources practitioner would be able to do that. Also, from a perspective of the interview process and the recruitment process itself, that process is best led by somebody who's very familiar with the recruitment process as such. So those two functions are really right at the start. And then you need a human resources function because at some point in time, no matter how small your organization really, you want some level of intelligence to be given to how the employee is engaged within the organization from a remuneration perspective. The salary and fringe benefits, what typically are the best practices around that. As I suggest, no matter how small or how large the organization is, that is still a very vitally important function as well. And then the utilization of that resource within your organization from a perspective of how do they integrate with colleagues. All of that requires some level of human resources knowledge, and therefore I think it's vitally important that HR expertise be considered when starting your new business.
Mm. Now, I mean, you know, when you talk about recruitment, I mean, isn't recruitment as simple as picking up the phone, phoning an employment agency and saying, hey, send me across a couple of CVs and let's go, let's get this going? I mean, I'm starting a new business. I need somebody to work with me. I think they need to do this. I think they need to do that. Here's a three-liner. Let's make this happen.
In fact, don't you actually know someone who can do it, or can't just send something out on Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah. So, Andrew, what would you respond to that challenge? We seem to have lost Andrew there. We're just going to get him back on the line. Yeah, I think that's just so true, though, Safia, that you have this scenario where you think, hey, I can just do this recruitment. And sorry, Andrew, we lost you there earlier.
Sorry for that.
And the word that
I was just saying that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just we were saying, why can't you just do it on social media or recruitment is really simple, why can't just get someone to do it? But the word you used early on was the word intelligence.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Recruitment, the principle of recruitment being simple is somewhat of a misnomer. I think the issue is intelligence is required because, and it takes not only physical intelligence, but emotional intelligence, because when you're recruiting somebody for your organization, you are recruiting a whole person. That person and that whole person needs to integrate with your organization and fit into your organization as such. So from a perspective of, you might argue, well, could anybody other than a recruiter or a recruitment consultancy not fulfill that function? And the answer is possibly yes. But I think rather make use of a practitioner and somebody that understands your own organization well. I'm saying that effectively, unless you have a really long-standing relationship with a recruitment consultant or a recruitment agency, the possibility that you find the wrong person for your organization is probably 70 to 80%, and your chances of finding the right person are probably 10 to 20%, based on the fact that they don't understand your organization well and they don't understand the role definitions within your organization very well either. So from my perspective, it's a simple function to pick up the phone and phone a recruitment consultant, but is it best placed for your organization? Probably the answer may be maybe no. You need somebody that understands your business a lot better than a one-off relationship.
And Andrew, I think as well for me, I can't recall the numbers exactly, but they're frightening stats about how many people actually lie on their CV or in the job interview. You really need to enter this world with your eyes open and with almost, let's call it, your best foot forward in terms of capability and competence. You don't want to just kind of run in there blindly saying, oh, well, I'll just invite a few people in to have a quick discussion with them and hope that I pick the right guy or girl.
Indeed. I think that is a valuable point to make. Whether it is done deliberately, regrettably, we seem to be facing many more instances where candidates are in fact misrepresenting either their experience and their qualifications, in fact. And there are some bodies that you can go to check those out. Mm. But I think the principle is also, you need somebody that's got the skill to be able to ask the questions, bearing in mind that a candidate may not deliberately misrepresent things, but may just be putting on the kind of face that he or she believes you want to see during that interview. Mm. And to get behind some of those facades and some of those little intricacies does take somebody with some experience in interviewing in the human resources function and at a basic psychology or industrial psychology level.
And I guess that's what you expect to see from your HR practitioner in that space. Now, Andrew, indeed. I mean, when it comes to, I mean, we've talked now a lot about recruitment. I mean, training seems to be a bandwagon that so many people are jumping on. You know, every other person is a training provider, and they're training on this and that, And, you know, I kind of look at this and I go, ooh, you know, I'm worried about standards here. I'm worried about credibility. I'm worried about wasting my money as a business person on training that isn't at the desired level or at an accredited level. I mean, what's the role of your human resource team in that space?
That depends to a large extent, Richard, on the kind of industry that you're operating and the kind of organization. If you're in a bigger organization, then your human resources role would be probably more to facilitate and to enable the selection of a suitable training provider from the raft of possibilities that exist out there. So I would say in a smaller organization, there your human resources provider might be somewhat more of a generalist who is able to not only select training providers relative to the type of need which exists, but he or she should really enable the organization by being able to assist in identifying the right kind of training need or the particular training need in question and which training provider would be suitable in terms of being able to deliver on that kind of training requirement. Mm. I think also the other thing as well, Richard, to bear in mind is that many times we kind of take a very closed book look at or a narrow look at what options are available by way of training. In this day and age, I think we should be really making, apart from classroom training, the old days of being able to book somebody for a five full days of a training course just simply don't happen that much anymore. So I'm thinking that one should really be looking at options via webinars and other form of electronic media, as well as, in fact, looking at e-learning options. You know, those are obviously electronic options that are available to deliver on training, and they're easy to pace for employers, you know, because the delegates that have been identified to proceed on that kind of training can really pace the learning and undertake the content at a time that is suitable for them. So it offers them a lot of flexibility. So those are some of the things I think that the HR practitioners should be able to advise on. Apart from training providers, it's looking at what forms of electronic media are available to meet those training needs, being able to identify the particular and the correct training need. So those things all take the skill of somebody who's really experienced in that area.
Mm. And it's starting to sound like you know, saying, oh, well, I've got an HR generalist might be a bit of a challenge here. Now, what about this whole question of, you know, outsourcing our payroll? I mean, we're talking here outsourcing training, outsourcing payroll, outsourcing recruitment. You know, what should you outsource? What shouldn't you outsource? Do you outsource your whole HR function? I mean, when it comes to outsourcing payroll, as a finance person, I immediately go, great, let's outsource the payroll. Let's make sure that it's in a space where it's confidential and we don't have to worry about, you know, confidentiality issues with payroll, which has always, you know, always been a historical challenge. And I think nowadays, I mean, I've seen some great solutions for, you know, payroll services. A lot of stuff now being done in the cloud. Some really, really, really nice payroll type of packages available out there. I mean, is the trend to outsource payroll or to insource payroll? What's the trend you're seeing out there?
There's probably a blend of both, but there seems to be a very large percentage of payrolls that are in fact outsourced. And whether you're outsourcing your HR payroll function, and whether, I mean, I accept that payroll traditionally has not always been an HR function. It could fit in under finances equally. So I think the point to make is here is there are two things to consider. Is when you select your provider, you need to look carefully at the skills of the provider. Do they have the skills that they say they have? And there are payroll associations, there are training and development associations, there are the sector and education training authorities in the training environment. But from a payroll perspective, just to come back to that for a moment, there's definite trend towards outsourcing payroll. I think it's about being able to provide an objective, independent payroll function, you know, to the organization, one where you don't necessarily need to, from a core skill and a core competency perspective, need to own those skills. So I think when one does the second point I talked about was initially was, well, the first point was skills. The second point is about budgets. Are you interested in looking at cost? And I think there are some really good payroll providers out there, and as you've suggested as well, some cloud-based solutions where you can save significant amounts of money on being able to operate a payroll on an outsourced basis. So my sentiment is, as long as you've got a skilled provider in the payroll environment, one who is committed to delivering service, one who understands your business, and where the cost of outsourcing it exceeds the cost of internalizing and running an in-house payroll service, to me, that would make sense as an option.
Mm. Now, I mean, just as a fundamental question, I guess, you know, so if you look at recruitment, payroll, training, I mean, what is the best model? Should people not just be simply biting the bullet and saying, okay, let me get my HR people into the business right from the start and let's be done with this?
Richard, I think the issue probably comes down to the points I raised a little earlier around skills, budgets, and so on. I'm saying that there are a raft of organizations across the economic sector. Not every single employer has the capacity to be able to employ an employee relations expert. That's another area of its own. Not everybody has the skills to be able to provide and to pay for a generalist human resources practitioner. So from my perspective, the model that works really well is the model where you've employed somebody that understands, whether it's an outsourced human resources company like the one that I run, or it is an independent sole proprietor that you have a relationship with. I'm saying that the model that works is the model that is going to operate from an efficiency, both time and also a cost efficiency perspective for the organization. And I think the other thing is somebody that's going to be able to provide to the organization what either the business owner cannot provide for him or herself, or the managers within that business cannot provide for the organization. So if it's a skill that you do not have internally within the organization, I think some of these areas, like the training environment and the payroll and the employee relations environment, those are all areas in which very specific skill sets are required from a knowledge perspective because they're highly legislative intensive. So I think from my perspective, whatever model it is that you're looking at, whether it's recruitment or a more generalized human resources or a payroll model, you need to consider some of those things. What are the skills that you need, and to do, whether it is most cost effective and time efficient to be able to purchase those in on an outsourced basis, or whether it runs better by having somebody internally, an internal resource or resources that fulfill that. Or in fact, you could go for a hybrid, a mixture. I know there are some organizations that are making use of very basic human resources administration experience and expertise within their organization. And then what they do is they purchase the higher level human resources knowledge and skills from an outsourced provider. So those are some of the things that should guide you in terms of which model is best for your organization.
Awesome. Andrew, what typically in the space of HR, training, and payroll can a business owner simply not afford to outsource?
I think that's a really good question. And I think it's one where you need to make sure that so if it's a skill that or a requirement, so maybe there's several pieces of legislation that are at stake, and you do not have the internal resources and you do not have the internal knowledge to be able to deal with the interpretation and the implementation of that legislation, whether that is from a training, payroll, employee relations, or a more generalized human resources function, I would say you definitely need to make sure that those skills are outsourced. So on the other hand, the skills that you want to insource would be typically skills that can be provided at a cost-effective base, you know, where it's not it's not essential necessarily for you to be able to own those skills. So from a perspective, I look at it from the point, viewpoint of saying that you need to have a look at within the organization what is core to your organization and what are the skills that are going to be ongoing skills for which an internal resource would be more cost effective than an outsourced option. So to me, those are the skills, and that's going to be the criterion that's going to cause you to come to the decision as to whether to internally have an internal resource or resources or to outsource, whether to own them internally.
Now Andrew, I guess for me, I mean, the obvious ones are, I guess you can't actually outsource the or the taking of policy in your HR environment. So you can consult with external advisors and people that can give you the knowledge base, but ultimately the policy decisions in your organizations have to be yours and yours alone. That you can't rely and say, well, I'm going to wait for my HR person to arrive here and then they'll make the call on this particular policy. So I guess that's one classic example where you can't really outsource that little hot potato. And it is a hot potato because often the policy choices that you make things really, really difficult. Obviously you put a policy down and then people want to push against the policy. That's just the nature of human beings. So yeah, to own the policy and to take a stand on the policy is clearly your role as a business owner, and you cannot outsource that, in my opinion. And along with that would be the element of culture, because at the end of the day, culture is what you create in your business. It's not, you can't say to, a person, hey, you come along here and in X hours a month that you're going to work with me, you're responsible for the culture we have in this business. I mean, yes, you can have change agents and you can have people who consult and support you in cultural change, but ultimately you create the culture in your own business. You can't outsource that one either, in my opinion.
Correct. I think you're hinting at confirming something which is critically and vitally important, is that where it comes to policy making and culture, those. And the other area that I would say is ultimate final decision making can never be outsourced to an external provider, because they really serve in an advisory recommendatory capacity to the organization. As an example, if you think in terms of the payroll provider or an employee relations provider, maybe you may outsource the chairpersonship of your disciplinary process to somebody who is an outsider, but the decision making remains internal because that chairperson makes a recommendation to you as an organization on what to do. Similarly, in terms of, you can outsource the drafting and the crafting of a policy document, but the implementation of that would definitely lie and rest internally. So I think the point here is, decide also upon where you want advice and what is the kind of stuff that you've got to simply make the decision as an organization or as a management team on, or as a directorate. You cannot outsource that decision making, because effectively that external party really doesn't have any locus standi within your organization and any legal right to assume any form of decision making anyway.
Yeah. Andrew, thank you very much. Thank you for your insights. We really do appreciate it. That was Andrew Butters from Pretty Much People. We really appreciate your time on the show today. Andrew, thanks very much for making that time for us. Next up, we get a little bit more practical with Thayanda in our SME showcase. CliffCentral.com.